This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today is Kent Backus. Kent is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Last week, celebrating Tax Day, not something we normally celebrate, but for ag, some big wins. Sanford Bishop is the ranking member of a House Appropriations Committee.
I look forward to your testimony in the Q&A today. And look forward to working with you through this process to make sure that the Department of Agriculture truly serves the needs of all Americans, and particularly our producers and our rural communities, so that we can continue producing the highest quality, the safest, the most abundant, the most affordable food and fiber anywhere in the industrialized world. Right now, that capability is at risk.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Kent Backus. Kent is Executive Director of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Kent, great to see you.
It's always good to see you too, Tony.
All right. You're always dressed up. Yeah, I mean, that's just part of, you know, working there in D.C., but you kind of have your official dress up going today. I'm kind of guessing you might have been somewhere, right?
Well, today was a big day, and this was a special day. And even though it's tax day, which is usually one of the most dreaded days of the year, you know, we have reason to celebrate this year, and that's because of the working families tax cuts. So we were at the Capitol today with Speaker Mike Johnson and the congressional leadership to really celebrate all of the wins for rural America and taxpayers across the country.
Yeah, that one big, beautiful bill, again, had a lot of different things in it. And it's simply just to say, it was tax cuts, but there's so much in there. What is in there that you're celebrating today?
Well, I think, you know, without question, we were very excited about all of the death tax relief that was included in the, because of that law. Now the death tax has been, that exemption level has been increased to $15 million per individual, $30 million per couple. It's indexed for inflation and it's permanent. So there's no more patchwork there. But we also saw restoration of 100% bonus depreciation. We saw an increase of Section 179 deductions to $2.5 million. So that's really important when you're looking at equipment and other investments. And we saw an increase in extension of the 199A small business deduction. All of that allows producers to hold on to more of their money, and instead of sending it to Washington for Uncle Sam to spend as he sees fit. But this isn't about tax cuts. This is really about preventing a tax hike. And had Congress failed to act and failed to do anything, then we would have seen that death tax exemption level drop significantly. That would have exposed many farmers and ranchers across the country to the dreaded death tax. We would not have access to a lot of these other deductions. And it would really mean that in a time where we see, you know, higher input costs and we see a lot of other pressures, we would have also seen a higher tax rate. And so having stability, having predictability, and something that we can plan for the future, it really is a cause to celebrate on tax day.
So, Kent, I'm kind of wondering here, is this also kind of underscoring the importance of Congress not just saying, here's our intent? In other words, this is specifically what we want done and getting it done. We've seen other things that have come through Congress where it's kind of an open door and you're not, you know, each administration will do something different. This is now codified and it's law, right?
That's right. This is permanent. And I think this really, it's important to remember how far we've come. Because in order to get this through the House and the Senate, Congress passed this by one vote majorities in the House and the Senate, and the president played a very prominent role in helping, you know, move that forward. We were fortunate to see that signed into law on July 4th of last year, and it really has kind of set the stage for us to start taking advantage of a lot of these benefits. But really, Tony, this started years in advance. You know, NCBA and our grassroots through our state affiliates did a lot to promote this. We've worked very closely with a lot of other agricultural groups, American Farm Bureau and others, and their grassroots played a prominent role in this too. We also worked very closely with a number of other small business and family business groups and coalitions across the country. So this really is the result, not of some backroom deal in Washington, but of a grassroots effort and a grassroots movement. This was America's farmers and ranchers engaging with their elected officials and helping them understand how these benefits and how these tax provisions were going to help stimulate the economy in rural America. And now we've set up the next generation for success. So this really is a cause to celebrate on tax day.
All right, Kent, I'm kind of thinking here. You said grassroots more than once, and we've talked many times, and you're always quick to point out that's where your marching orders come from. Comes from your membership. How important is it to actually get those members to D.C. and into the offices and telling those stories? And once you answer that, when's the next opportunity for that to happen?
Well, you know, we're very fortunate that we have a very active grassroots network. We have state affiliates, breed affiliates that come to Washington all the time. But next week, we will have our legislative conference. We'll have our big fly-in, and that is an opportunity for Congress to meet with producers from all across the country, from so many different states. We'll be talking about everything from public lands grazing issues to endangered species issues, all the way to animal health issues and transportation issues. There's so many different things that affect our operations on a day-to-day basis. And it's one thing for them to hear it from those of us who are based here in Washington, but who they really listen to are our members, are the people who live this day in and day out, who know exactly the importance of this, and they're the ones who set our policies. And so for them to come here and to engage with their elected officials is always exciting. So we're looking forward to hosting, you know, a few hundred of our members next week. And I think we're going to have a very productive week.
Okay. Speaking of productive, we have the midterm elections that are right around the corner. Primaries have been happening, runoff elections here. Whenever we're talking about election season, it seems as though Congress has a hard time being productive. So what's on the agenda for the remaining session here, this congressional session, which wraps up at the end of the year?
Well, I think that's always the challenge for Congress is being productive. There's always the appearance of doing without doing much. And that's not a criticism of any individual person, but it's just the way the system is built. And with this being an election year, it is tough. You still have slim majorities. You've had some resignations. You have other members that are also under investigation right now. So there's a lot of uncertainty of what the makeup of Congress is going to look like. But as we're getting into really the full swing of this election year, I think we're going to see a lot more position votes. I think we're going to see, Congress continue to try to do its work. We're hoping to see some of the appropriations bills passed through regular order. That would be an amazing accomplishment considering Congress has not been successful in many days. But we still try to work with them to accomplish those goals. There's still a surface transportation reauthorization bill that needs to move forward. So there are a lot of big things that are out there, but the reality is this is an election year, and you know Congress spends about half its time trying to make sure that they can come back and be here for the next year of productive work. So we'll see what happens, but whether they're successful or not, you will see Congress being incredibly busy voting on many things, having a lot of hearings. But they're also going to be back in their districts. They're going to be back in their states, meeting with constituents. And that's really where NCBA and our affiliates shine too, because it creates opportunities for us to engage with them directly.
Kent, always great to see you. Thanks for your time and congratulations on the celebration here on Tax Day. If we want to keep up with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, is there a website, someplace easy we can find you?
Yeah, you can always find us at ncba.org.
Kent Backus is Executive Director of Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Well, Zach Tindall is with Producers Livestock. And how about the beef on dairy cross? Really, that's been saving us as of late. Is that also leading to more higher grades on carcasses?
No, it definitely is. I mean, that's what the packers have always wanted. I mean, if they could get 100% of the animals prime, I think they'd be in a good boat. Now we're probably too high. You know, compared to normal standards, especially with the overall price of beef, you're seeing the people or the consumer at the meat counter maybe gravitate towards select cuts or ground beef just because it's still beef, but it's a cheaper option. So now, I mean, the beef on dairy deal has definitely helped a lot. I mean, those cattle are typically on feed a little longer, and in the longer days on feed, the better grade you're typically going to have. But then you take the Mexican cattle out of the scenario. You know, we've been making carcasses bigger as an industry. I mean, economically, it's been fine, but the packers have kind of enticed that a little bit with slowing the kill down. And they know they have less cattle, but that doesn't mean that per capita consumption's gone down. So they're trying to keep the number of overall harvested pounds as high as it was a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. Pick your number, but do it with less cattle. So in order to get more weight on these cattle, whether they're dairy cross or just your standard commodity cattle here in the U.S., you're going to have to feed them longer to get them bigger. So if those cattle can carry those pounds, guys are going to continue to do it because economically it's helped. I mean, if you want to call cost to gain a dollar a pound and say you get them up over 1,400 pounds, your efficiency goes down and that cost to gain jumps up to say $1.20 or $1.30, say your number, and you're selling fat cattle for $2.40 or $2.50, every pound you put on is economically helping you because it's costing you almost half the price to put it on as to what you're getting for it. So these dairy cross calves, yeah, they've been on feed longer. It's helped our grade too, but there's a lot of other things going on as well as these dairy crosses that have helped promote the choice in beef prime or the choice in prime grades right now.
Zach Tindall with Producers Livestock. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. We wrap up with U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Jamison Greer explaining recently about a trade agreement with China and Canada.
When you look at the substance of that agreement, it's a fairly discreet trade, not unlike the kinds of trades other countries might do. A few years ago, Canada put a big tariff on Chinese electric vehicles of 100%. China retaliated, as they're wont to do, by cutting off canola oil going to China. Did you know that the word canola is like a made-up word? They said it's like oil from Canada. It's made from rapeseed oil, and that's like not an attractive kind of word. So they called it Canada oil canola. Anyway, things I've learned in the past week.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Georgia Representative Sanford Bishop.
This committee works hard to come to a consensus on funding bills, and all of us, Democrats, Republicans, want to be your partners in this. We truly do. So we need your help, Secretary Rollins. We are accountable to our constituents, and they ask us to open casework inquiries. At times, we have to ask your staff for information in this regard. We are not fishing, we are serving our constituents who expect current, accurate, and timely responses. They are on the edge of the economic cliff, and they need help. We also expect that USDA will not circumvent this appropriations process by refusing to spend or obligate program funding once it is signed into law.
It's the Agribusiness Report.